At this time, we'll turn in God's Word to Ephesians chapter 6 for our scripture reading. Ephesians 6, reading verses 10 through 24. And the sermon that I'll be reading this afternoon was written by Reverend Fred Folkerts, who is a retired minister from Listowel URC. So Ephesians 6, passage speaking of the armor of the Lord. And beginning Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10 and reading through to the end of the chapter. Let's give our careful attention to the word of the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as a youngster playing hockey, you can understand why I chose this sermon. As a youngster playing hockey, I recall my coach telling our team to stand up to the other team, to stand our ground against them. He would say, "Don't let them push you around, play your positions, and control the ice in your zone. Stand your ground there. Hold your positions." That's how it is in all team sports, and this is especially how it is on the battlefield. The Apostle Paul, on various occasions, used examples from the sports arena to teach of the spiritual training and determination and strength we are to have. Like a boxer who does not beat the air aimlessly, or the athlete who must train hard and compete according to the rules if he is to win the race and obtain the prize, and thus the need to discipline the body. These are examples Paul used to teach us to discipline body and soul to be spiritually equipped and strong for our Christian warfare. In our passage in Ephesians 6, Paul uses the Roman soldier and his battle dress to teach us about our spiritual armament, which is so necessary to be victorious. For there are battles to be fought and a war to win. To be sure, we fight only in the strength of the Lord. He is our captain and power, and yet we must fight. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of the darkness of this age, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, the devil himself. Our theme this afternoon is Stand Firm, Therefore, in Your Spiritual Warfare. These words come to us by way of a command from our Lord. Our text, verse 14, Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. This is not an option, but a necessity. A divine command from the apostle's mouth, Stand therefore. The words imply a resolute determination, an immovable stance against the wiles of the devil, a steadfast conviction. You are Christian warriors. Take your stand against the foe. Keep to your position so that you do not give ground to him in the evil day. Evil days will come and keep coming, but your posture is to be constant vigilance. We cannot let our guard down. But how do we maintain such a spiritual battle-ready posture? Paul now goes on to the specifics of the armament the Lord has prepared for us. He commanded us in verse 10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How now do we stand? Only by having done some prior past action, having girded your waist with truth, and secondly, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So our first point, you stand by having girded your waist with truth. Around the waist, the Roman soldier wore a hefty belt, or girdle, that he strapped around his midsection. He girded himself, or he belted himself, if you will, with this important piece of equipment. It was the first piece he put on to prepare for battle. By means of it, he tightened his tunic around him so that no loose clothing would hinder his movements, and thus the expression in Scripture to gird oneself, to make oneself ready to work or run or to fight. David says in 2 Samuel 22, verse 40, The Lord has girded me with strength. Or in Luke 12, verse 35, Jesus describes faithful servants awaiting their master's return. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. This belt around the waist of the Roman soldier was crucial. The bottom of the breastplate was attached to it, and the scabbard that held his sword was fastened to it. This belt kept everything tight and in place to facilitate the best possible movement. Now Paul says, Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. If we have not done this to ourselves first, we won't be able to make our stand against the scheming, unsuspecting attacks of the evil one. Just as a soldier who is not dressed with a belt and sword suddenly finds the enemy upon him and cannot stand against him. And so the onus is on us to gird ourselves with a belt of truth. This is the first part of our spiritual armor, which we must put on in order to make our stand. Belt yourself with this truth. Make truth surround you and uphold you. What is this truth that Paul speaks of? Does it lie naturally in us? Well, no. Remember, we are dealing with the spiritual armor of God that he gives, which we are to put on. It is the truth which is grounded in God himself. Paul says to the Ephesians in 4 verse 21 that they have heard of Christ and have been taught by him, just as the truth is in Jesus. This objective truth is what we are to be girded with. It is to be living in our hearts as the deep conviction of our inner being, arising, if you will, from our bowels. Remember, this belt is wrapped around our waist or loins. Gird yourself with truth in order to stand against the scheming devil and all his hosts. Theologian Charles Hodge says, This is the first and indispensable qualification for a Christian soldier. To enter on this spiritual conflict ignorant or doubting would be to enter battle blind and lame. End of quote. This is the first piece of armor we are to put on. This is the beginning or foundation of our armor. This ties or holds all the pieces of armor together, and so without it, we are lost. If we are not convinced of the truth as it is in Christ, how can we stand against the devil, who is the father of lies? James says, "He who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." But with the truth wrapped around us, proceeding as deep convictions from our inner being, we have confidence and certainty that we will be able to ward off the devil. It gives us the freedom of action and determination to fight against him. It gives us the confidence to be able to answer the Jehovah's Witness who comes knocking at our door. It gives us the conviction and determination to say no to the pervasive pressure we face to give in to sexual temptation. Just as the soldier who has his belt on and had his tunic tightly wrapped with sword in place and now had unhindered mobility to fight and take his stand, so also you and me, when girded with the truth about our waist, can make our stand against falsehood and immorality. Have you girded yourself with the truth? Have you girded yourself with the truth so that when the evil day comes, when the temptations are strong to compromise your Christian beliefs and practice, you will be able to withstand him? Or might there be some deceit or hypocrisy in your hearts? Outwardly, you practice what other believers are doing, regular church attendance, for example, yet inwardly, you are not convinced of it at all. You are not persuaded that Christ alone is your only hope and your chief delight. Then you have not yet girded your waist with truth. How vulnerable you are then to Satan's attacks. Or are you not convinced that Christ is the only answer to the deepest longings of the human heart, filling our deepest need, which is reconciliation with a holy God on account of our sin, peace with God? Or rather, are you convinced that human reason or pop psychology or even other religions might have their place too in this quest for peace and contentment with God? Then you are not girding your waist with truth as you must, and you will not be able to stand the schemings of Satan. Our age of relativism, where nothing is said to be absolutely true or absolutely wrong, is so very opposed to this command of girding ourselves with the truth. In an age where there are no absolutes, no ultimates, where public opinion determines what is good, and where political might makes right, we must gird ourselves with the truth and be fully convinced in our own minds from God's word. For behind the spirit of our age lies the evil one, the spiritual hosts and powers of darkness, of wickedness. Remember, we are to stand, therefore, stand firm. But stand firm on what? Stand firm in what? Stand firm in the truth of God, fully revealed, fully inscribed in his word, and fully embodied in Jesus Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's what we put on. That is where we stand, brothers and sisters. Otherwise, we falter and fall, and will be destroyed by the evil one. So stand, therefore, also having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Point number two. The breastplate was the most vital piece of armor. It protected all the vital organs, most notably the heart. The breastplate was of two pieces, the front covering the chest and the back covering the soldier's back. It covered him from his neck down to his thighs as defensive protection. It kept the enemy from thrusting his sword into his belly or chest cavity, or stabbing him in the back. Something like a bulletproof vest that police wear. But this breastplate is the breastplate of righteousness. Paul says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, we must put it on. It must be in place to protect our hearts. Otherwise, we cannot stand against the devil. It's God's armor given to you for your protection. But what kind of righteousness is it? Could it be our own righteousness? Our own integrity or moral rectitude? No, that would never do. That would be our own armor. But we are commanded to put on the whole armor of God. And so it's the righteousness that we have only by faith in Jesus Christ. That is our only protection against the accusations and attacks of the devil. In Philippians 3, verse 9, Paul says he desired not to have his own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God by faith in Jesus Christ. He counted everything in himself as loss and rubbish compared with the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, his Lord. For a congregation, does not our own conscience often accuse us? Do not often our own sinful desires and feelings reveal our depraved hearts? If others could read and know our thoughts, how shameful we would appear. And the temptations of the mind that we succumb to, all our secret sins. How then could we ever claim any righteousness of ourselves as the defense to withstand the devil's onslaught? Would not Satan's accusations then rightly hit their mark against us? You sinful man, you sinful woman, look at your hearts. Outwardly you can look so good, but I know there is another side to you, hypocrite. Yes, the devil is well aware of our fallen, corrupt human nature, and he uses it to serve his purpose to destroy us if he could. It is fertile ground for him to sow seeds of doubt and rebellion in our hearts against God. And without this breastplate of the righteousness of Christ, he could so easily thrust his sword of temptation and deceit and wickedness into us and destroy us. But in Christ, we are safe, brothers and sisters. With his perfect obedience and perfect suffering imputed to us, placed to our account, by faith, our standing with God is one of perfect righteousness. Jesus Christ, by his obedience, fulfills all the demands of the law for us. And by his suffering, he has endured the wrath of God for us, so that our sin and guilt and punishment and shame is removed from us. And furthermore, by this faith, we too are raised to a newness of life by the Spirit. For as Christ was crucified, so also our old nature was crucified with him, Romans 6, verse 6, that we may begin anew a righteous and holy life, remade after the image of Christ, bearing his righteousness, and seeking then to live righteously. And thus we are no longer under Satan's control and power, which would destroy us. Indeed, he cannot touch or condemn those who are truly in Christ. They are God's own forever. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is our breastplate, our only sure defense against Satan. It is the true righteousness of Christ imputed to us by faith. Yet, congregation, we must also put it on. We must put it on, believe it, take it as a gift of God, live in it. It demands our conscious faith. Dress yourself up in this righteousness of Christ so that it will mark you, radiate from you, and set you apart as holy from the unbelieving world. Is this what you want? It's surely what you need to make your stand. Pray that the Holy Spirit will give you spiritual strength and make you bold and determined and give you confidence, confidence in the Lord who saved you and made you holy. In him you can stand against the schemes of the devil and know that you won't be defeated. But if we try to enter this warfare hesitantly and uncertain of these realities, we are already defeated. How can we stand our ground and not be pushed around by the devil's lies and powers unless we begin with having put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is hinged to the belt of truth girded about our waist? Put on this spiritual armor, congregation, with your mind, with your will, your desires, and from it will flourish your righteous character, holy manner, and determination. Isn't holy, obedient living the best offense against the devil's seductions? When we willfully disobey the Lord or neglect his commands, which are so good for us, don't we play right into the devil's hands? Yes, we do. Then we have actually cast aside our armor. Have you put on these first pieces of God's armor, or are they lying on the side unused? God gave us this armor on account of the fierceness of the battle that rages around us, the spiritual hosts of wickedness besieging the kingdom of God. The devil would have us think there is no battle at all. Are you fully aware of it? Are you sincerely desirous to fight in this battle on the Lord's side? In our own hearts is the tendency to simply join in with the world under the sway of the evil one. Isn't being grounded in God's truth the only foundation against the devil's subtle scheming power? Isn't being informed about these things and convinced of them the sure way to escape his clutches? Then put on this divine armor of the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth so that you will not fall and fail, but stand firm and victorious against the wiles of the devil. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we've heard your word to us. There is no mistaking the straightforwardness of the message, that we are to stand firm in the battle, yet not in our own strength, but through the strength that Christ gives to us. We ask, Lord, that you will take your truth and plant it deep in our hearts, that you will shape us and fashion us in the likeness of Christ. Make us men and women of the cross who march forth to battle, not against flesh and blood, but against the hosts of wickedness, the schemes of the devil. Pray that each one here would be found standing in that evil day. We pray, Lord, that you will be with any who are not on the Lord's side. We pray, Lord, that you will make them to realize the dire need that they have to bend the knee before you, to join in your army, to be counted among the victorious army of Christ. We ask that you will haste the day of complete victory when Christ returns on the clouds with all the angel hosts to bring all things into subjection under his feet. We pray that we may be found in you. We pray all this in Jesus' name.